opinions expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Welcome to Tone and Tenor, a show that explores current issues of the day and listens to bipartisan voices of the people. We want to hear from you with your phone calls and on social media. Now, here are the hosts of Tone and Tenor.
Welcome to this special edition of the Tone and Tenor Show, Bipartisan Voices of the People. Freedom Voices, Youth Perspective, Politics and Issues, here on WWDB Talk 860 AM. Freedom Voices will be heard every third Friday of each month through June. I'm Randall Jefferson, the host of Tone and Tenor. Freedom Voices want to hear from you. Call in, ask questions of our guests. The call-in number is 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. Their phone lines are now open. You can also send us your comments via social media. The Twitter handle is @ToneAndTenor. Like us on our Facebook page. Just type in the words Tone and Tenor in the Facebook search engine to find us.
Our youth host today is Makai Garnett, 13th, 7th grade.
Mackenzie Austin, 14th, 8th grade.
Anaya Quinterly, 13th, 8th grade. We are students from St. James School, located in Philadelphia. Learn more about St. James School by visiting www.stjamesphila.org. In the aftermath of yet another deadly mass shooting, which occurred in Parkland, Florida, and debate on gun violence and control has again resurfaced. The latest shooting in Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School left 17 people dead and many more injured and or clinging to life. According to Everytown for Gun Safety, a nonprofit organization, there have been 17 school shootings in the U.S. prior to the recent shooting. Everytown defines a mass shooting as an incident in which four or more people, not including the shooter, are killed with firearm. Also, according to the statistics, every day, 96 Americans are killed with guns. The gun homicide rate in the U.S. is 25 times higher than that of the other development countries. The discussion about gun control or gun violence only surfaces when there are mass shootings. According to Gun Violence Archive, GVA, a not-for-profit corporation formed in 2013 to provide free online public access to the accurate information about gun-related violence in the United States. From January 1, 2018 to February 15, 2018, total number of gun incidents, 6,630. Number of deaths, 1,838. Number of injuries, 3,168. Number of children age 0 through 11 killed or injured, 96. Number of teens age 12 through 17 killed or injured, 347. Mass shootings, 30. Officer-involved incidents shot or killed, 39. Officer-involved incidents, suspect shot or killed, 295. Home invasions, 267. Defensive use, 185. Unintentional shootings, 216. With these disturbing numbers, why does the discussion only take place when a mass killing occurs? Why aren't these issues being addressed when in 2017 cities such as Chicago, 650, Philadelphia, 317, Detroit, 267, Los Angeles, 271, New York, 290, New Orleans, 157, had murders that majority were from the use of a gun? Who's really benefiting by not imposing stricter laws on the purchasing and selling of military assault-type weapons? The Second Amendment to the United States Constitution protects the right of people to keep and bear arms and was adopted on December 15, 1791. Should this hold true today? What role should local, state, and federal governments play in developing real legislation to the curtail illegal gun sales and use? After each mass shooting, you hear gun control versus gun violence versus mental health. After an individual shooting, there is silence. Why? Today's Freedom Voice topic is Debate Continues, Second Amendment and Gun Violence Effects / Solutions.
Joining the discussion today are David Garner, DeVita Garner, founder Erase the Rate, The organization seeks to decrease the growing homicide rate in Philadelphia by elevating, empowering, and enhancing the minority community. Garner founded the group after losing her cousin to senseless gun violence. Damon Cash Garner was killed last June, succumbing to multiple shots fired at close range while he was sitting inside their grandmother's house. There are several campaigns and resources dedicated to reducing gun violence in the region. Erase the Rate takes a very local grassroots approach. The goal, Garner said, is to address the issue by elevating, empowering, and enhancing the minority community. Ryan Miller, executive director of Heeding God's Call to End Gun Violence, the faith-based and grassroots movement to prevent gun violence. Ryan left a 25-year career in international business after his brother was one of three law enforcement officers killed in a 1994 massacre at Washington, D.C. police headquarters by a lone gunman wielding a concealed assault pistol. Ryan led Ceasefire NJ, a secular gun violence prevention organization in New Jersey, where his tenure was marked by success in enacting many new gun regulations, leading New Jersey to have among the lowest per capita rates of gun death in the country. He co-founded Heeding in 2009, which used faithful plug pressure to force federal authorities to shutter Philadelphia's most notorious gun shop. Heeding used various activities to get people of all faiths into activism to prevent gun violence. Heeding currently has volunteer chapters in Philadelphia and its suburbs, Harrisburg and Greater Washington, D.C. Maz Ture, solitary hip hop. Solutionary hip hop artist and founder of Black Guns Matter. Black Guns Matter is a national pro-gun organization that aims to educate urban populations about their Second Amendment rights. Black Guns Matter educates people in urban communities on their Second Amendment rights and responsibilities through firearms training and education. Maj, who formed Black Guns Matter in 2016, has been taking his message across the United States, visiting areas such as Atlanta, Baltimore, Chicago, Detroit. Maj Ture is a Philadelphia native gun enthusiast and NRA member.
Welcome to Freedom Voices Youth Perspective, Politics and Issues. Okay, so my first question today is, how do you guys feel about the gun violence happening in Philadelphia and around the world? In the United States.
Who wants to take it first?
Who do you want to have go first?
It doesn't matter to me.
Okay, well, first, the term gun violence is not really a real term. It's something that media made up to make it sound very, that's why you never hear the term like knife violence, because it's just them picking whichever one that they want to say. Gun violence, right? The problem with that is, like, when you have cities like, or let's take even countries like, let's take the UK, for example. They get rid of firearms, right? Then their stabbings go up. But nobody says, "Oh, stabbing violence."
Wait. No.
Well, you got to let me finish.
Make a statement that's not true.
So the term, have you ever heard the term?
Stabbings have not gone up.
In United Kingdom, they have. Show me the stats. Then you're making an assumption. I can tell you the stat. We have smartphones. I can pull it up right now. Would you like to see it?
Sure.
Okay. So here's the thing. One, you said for me to go first, right?
Well, I hope you're going to tell
Wait,
the truth.
Well, I am telling the truth. Well, and I'm going to pull the stats up to actually back that up. But you said you don't have the stats, but you're disproving
violence,
a negative.
To call gun violence a media campaign is not...
That's not what I said.
That's not real.
That's what you said, and you're wrong. That's not what I said. This is being recorded. What I said was the term gun violence is a media creation. That's why you don't hear to the same extent the term knife violence.
No, gun violence is two words that go together that describe.
You just asked me a question. You've cut me off three times already.
Well, I expect you to tell the truth.
I'm telling the truth, and now you're calling me a liar.
Okay.
Okay.
It is wrong.
Let's have Mr. Ture make his point, and then we'll have a rebuttal, and then we'll bring Ms. Garner back in.
So again, when someone gets hit with, let's say if a terrorist in France decides to say, I want to drive a car into a group of people, we don't hear the term car violence. You know what I'm saying? When somebody's drunk, when they know they should do better, they get drunk, they get behind a car, and they decide they accidentally kill somebody. We don't hear the term, oh, there's so much car violence in America. Saying that to say, that term is a little bit loaded, but nobody in their right mind wants, especially the people in this room, nobody wants people to die unnecessarily. That's the silliest thing on earth. I have friends, family members, close friends that were murdered, stabbed, shot, hit by cars, by drunk people. That's the silliest thing on earth for somebody to be that irresponsible with any type of tool, right? So that's my personal feeling on any type of violence. If you're doing something like that, especially intentionally, and you're harming somebody, especially somebody that we might care about, that person needs to be, you know, held to the fullest extent of the law, in my view.
Okay, what I feel is that gun violence is something that can be, that we can deal with, that we can lessen, that there are opportunities to make our streets and our communities and our schools and so safer, that's the important issue, not what it's called or whatever. It's the fact that in this country we suffer gun homicides, gun accidents, all sorts of ways that guns are used to harm people that we don't need to suffer. And even within the United States, there's a difference between states like New Jersey right across the river and Pennsylvania in terms of the level of gun violence, because the folks in Pennsylvania through their legislatures have changed the laws, improved the laws, strengthened the laws, mm-hmm. so that it's not so easy to get a gun in New Jersey as it is in Pennsylvania. Unfortunately, Pennsylvania ships new guns to New Jersey so that, in fact, for New Jersey, Pennsylvania is a problem. But we can do something about it. We've shown we can do something about it in states like New Jersey. The fact that the rate of gun death and injury, if that term works better for you, is much, much lower, many times lower in other countries, means that something can be done. And I think most of us agree that it's important to do something.
We'd like to bring Ms. Garner in by telephone.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. I just want to bring a little estrogen in. I felt like I was getting a little hostile earlier.
This is light work. This isn't hostile at all.
Okay, I'm sorry. I believe that both of you are correct. There is like a stigma around gun violence. Gun violence is looked at as, to me, this is just something that I experience in the city. Gun violence itself is looked at as something that occurs all the time. No one is moved by it anymore, and that's in combination with the lax gun laws that Pennsylvania has. There's a lot of ease and accessibility for these young children to be able to get the guns and to be able to create something, a bad event out of the gun. Young children aren't much; they're not mature enough to handle having these weapons at their hand. And by them being able to have them, they're killing people. Most killings that are occurring are happening by young black men that are 18 or 35. So gun violence is something that is plaguing our community, and it's something that has to be stopped. However, if we're not really affected by it, if we see it and it's too common now, no one's going to really care.
Well, but first, thank you so much for calling in. I do agree that I don't think that anybody doesn't care. And I do think that any type of ignorance or violence definitely need, we obviously are affected by it. I've lost friends, family members and things like that to ignorance. Yeah. I think what you're talking about, too, is an issue of, like education and safety. Like, for example, you know, last summer we had a string of like young people getting their hands on firearms that were not secured properly. And these young people, you know, putting the firearm, playing with it and harming or killing themselves. You know what I mean? With that being the case, I think it's very important that we stop mystifying it and acting like firearms isn't something, especially if you have them in the house. That's why at our classes we deal with conflict resolution as well as safe securing of firearms. I think we have to strike a balance between respecting people's rights, their human rights to self-defense, as well as cutting down on negligence, because it's not an accident. If you're a parent, if you're an adult, and if you have a firearm, it is your responsibility to secure that firearm properly, because a lot of these, even down to the statistics and going into what we, you know, like the brother just said, gun violence, they kind of play a bit of a stat game. So for example, 61% of those, you know, firearms related offenses, whether through that resulting in death or injury, are they never bring up that those are like suicides a lot of times. So, you know, then that's where we slide into the concept of mental health. That's where we slide into the concept of, you know, just having a more holistic approach. But where we at a point where when you start dealing in extremes, where you say things like, okay, get rid of all guns or stop law-abiding citizens from exercising their right, you're just leaving it for the same people that are criminals that don't care about the rules anyway. You know, so it's a balance that we definitely got to strike there. And the overall goal is less carnage, less death, you know, especially when it's things that are extremely preventable.
Now, I agree with you 100% on that, because I actually had someone contact the organization mm-hmm. and state that they don't believe, you know, that getting rid of guns. I never stated that
right.
know, we should get rid of guns.
Right.
But this guy told me that getting rid of guns, that's how he protects his family.
Right.
And I'm for it.
Right.
Because there are going to always be some people that, you know, slip through the cracks. Even if you did say, let's get rid of all guns, there are always going to be people from other states that, you know, are selling to people in this state that would be able to get those guns. So how would you protect your family? But I do believe that you still need education.
Absolutely.
And counseling on how to handle a weapon or what you should do in a situation. And in a lot of communities, specifically minority communities, we aren't offered that.
Well, that's what our organization does. Black Guns Matter, we give free firearm safety training, conflict resolution, de-escalation classes around the country for free. We go to the places where the gun control is high, and so is the murder. So for example, when we go to Chicago and everybody looks at Chicago as like the, oh man, it's so crazy, never mind the fact that per capita New Orleans has way more homicides per capita. For every 100,000 people in New Orleans, there's about 91 shootings, like 60-something percent of them resulting in fatalities. Point being is we have to go there. And again, we got to go back to the numbers. We got to talk about the negligent discharges, the children getting access to firearms. These are things that can be solved. A large percentage of that can be solved with proper education and training. Because you'd be surprised how many parents have a firearm to protect themselves. They live in a rough neighborhood and things like that, but they don't secure it properly.
This is Brian Miller. I agree with much of what you have to say, but you're turning the discussion onto what is a very small portion of the gun violence. The bulk of the gun violence is young people or older people who are intent on mayhem or feel they're protecting themselves by carrying a gun and carry a gun. Two guys get in a beef, one pulls the gun out and shoots the other because that may be the rational thing to do. That's the gun violence that is... Other than suicide, I agree, but that's the gun violence that I think we can do something about by making it more difficult for people to get guns through the illegal market. I imagine you agree, too, that the illegal market is a problem and that we should find ways to limit sales to those people who are legal purchasers of guns.
Go ahead.
Do you agree?
I agree with you because my cousin was murdered by gun violence, and I just felt it was so wrong because now his son has to live without a father and his daughter too, and it hurts so much because you never really know how much you miss somebody mm-hmm. until they're gone.
Right.
Oh, sorry, my name is Anaya too. But you never really know how much you miss somebody when they're gone, and the sad thing is I can't even remember the last thing that I said to my cousin, but I can't remember the last thing I said to him before he was gone. And I never will get to see his face again or see him smile again because somebody took him away from me because something happened. And this had to take his life because he got in some beef with somebody else. And I just think it's so wrong how I won't have to see him again just because somebody took his life away from me and his family.
With that
being said, sorry, this is Mackenzie, and I'm sorry to interrupt, Ms. Gardner. But with this being said, one thing I need, if people hear this, I want them to know that every life you take, this world doesn't revolve around just you.
Right.
It revolves around every person.
100%.
And if you love a person, and God gave us the right to all live.
Right.
That's one thing we all have. So what you must think about is taking a life is taking away somebody's future.
Right.
Taking away somebody's life is taking away somebody's key that they have to become the best person they could be, the best artist they can be.
Right.
And you let them stop, and for a person to cry losing their father. And for me, my uncle, he was in one of those lives where he used a gun at one point. And I'm not saying guns are bad. Guns aren't always the bad problem. It's sometimes how we choose to state ourselves in this world. And sometimes I understand what it feels like to be angry or to be hurt and to not express ourselves. Sometimes we need to express ourselves with words, but respectfully.
Right. Mackenzie, I think you're bringing up excellent points in the sense of, one, everything that you're saying is accurate, and what you're talking about is actually conflict resolution. And, you know, firearms are there. Some people use them for sport. Some people use them for, you know, investment. You know, all of these other different things. It's not just I'm either a law enforcement officer or I'm the bad guy, right? Some people have them to protect themselves and their loved ones against, you know,
the enemy.
Or bad people, or people that wish to do them harm in that moment, right? However, the choices that you make with that firearm, you know, a firearm in a self-defensive situation is the absolute last resort. It's not, you know, hey, that dude stepped on my sneakers, my LeBron, so now I got to go shoot him. That's the silliest thing on earth. You know what I mean? And I think what you said is extremely key in striking that balance between, you know, respect for the tool, respect for people's right to have a thing, as well as holding individuals accountable for doing the thing that they do wrong with the tool.
But here's a thing that we forget in life. When we're given things that we know are wrong to touch, like how you hear about the drive-bys and how people get killed, we touch on things that we don't experience. So you hear about how kids shoot themselves accidentally and end up dying from that. For me, I agree with both you, which you were arguing about. I understand that there
we're
are certain
agreeing to
things.
Disagree.
Right. Yeah. It's okay. And I feel I can see both y'all points of view because you want it to stop, Mr. Miller.
Right.
And Mr. Turrent.
So real quick, I do have the stats for London as of 2017.
Okay.
There were 37,443 recorded knife offenses and 6,694 recorded gun offenses in the year up to September of 2017. In London, the problem was even more pronounced than the rest of the country, with 12,980 knife crimes. They used it. They didn't say violence, but they said knife crimes. Taking place in the capital, 2,452 more than the equivalent last year. So the rise in stabbings in London from one year to another, 2,452. I just wanted to kind of give some light.
So the important issue there is how many people were killed relative to per capita wise to this country, whether it's knife or guns.
Well,
and the number is a fraction, a tiny fraction of this country, especially when you're talking about guns.
Well, I don't
because, gun murders in England are less than 100 in a year in a country of over 55 million people. We have, last year, we had 265 gun murders in the city of Philadelphia, which is 1.5 million people.
So
that's the important thing, is contrasting those two things.
So I brought that point up to give statistics on me saying what you said was the stabbings are not up in the UK. So I just gave the statistics to prove that.
I understand that.
No, wait. So you can't gloss over that. I brought that up you can't gloss over that. I brought that up to bring up the point of me saying the stats.
So what do you think of the facts?
Right, we're here to talk about gun violence and not stabbing.
So I think some of the solutions here are dealing more in, again, what Mackenzie said. Mackenzie actually has solid answers. Conflict resolution, de-escalation, you know, while giving a respect for a tool. I think that what happens is we deal in these extremes. We deal in an extreme of, oh, these things are bad are happening, and we focus on, okay, we got to get rid of this, or we got to do X, Y, and Z, as opposed to even applying the tools that are already at our disposal. If you want to take, for example, you know, the shooters, we have things in position to stop people that should not have firearms. Going to your point earlier, you know, the unlawful people that are prohibited persons, there are already things in position that some people are not following. So, for example, the guy that got the firearm and shot people up in the church, and the guy with the rifle stopped him, right? That scenario, would that be in the case?
There were 26 people killed before he stopped him.
So would you rather there be 30? Excuse me.
I'd rather make it harder for him to get the gun.
Excuse me.
But if it's an unlawful...
Go ahead, Mackenzie. Okay. No, we're not about to get heated in this. Take a few breathers before.
No, this is light. This isn't heated at all.
We're going to take a break now. Today's topic, debate continues, Second Amendment and gun violence affects resolutions. Our guest today, Ryan Miller, Executive Director of Heeding God's Call to End Gun Violence, the faith-based and grassroots movement to prevent gun violence. Maz Ture, founder of Black Guns Matter, a national pro-gun organization that aims to educate urban populations about their Second Amendment's rights. By telephone with us, Davida Gardner, founder Erase the Rate, the organization seeks to decrease the growing homicide rate in Philadelphia by elevating, empowering, and enhancing the minority community. You are listening to Freedom Voices, Youth Perspective, Politics, and Issues here on WWDBAM Talk 860.
The Tone and Tenor Show is sponsored by Factotum Business and Government Solutions, a unique lobby consulting company that services business and governmental clients through long-standing bipartisan relationships. It is Factotum's mission to provide business solutions for both profit and nonprofit organizations, connecting them to officials in local, state, and federal governments. Factotum has offices in Pennsylvania and Washington, D.C. For more information on Factotum Business and Government Solutions, call 866-795-4484. That's 866-795-4484.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon. Formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why.
Welcome back to Freedom Voices, Youth Perspectives, Politics and Issues here on WWDBAM Talk 860. Today's topic, debate continues, Second Amendment and gun violence affects solutions. Our guest in studio, Brian Miller, Executive Director of Heeding God's Call to End Gun Violence, the faith-based and grassroots movement to prevent gun violence. Maz Ture, founder of Black Guns Matter, a national pro-gun organization that aims to educate urban populations about their Second Amendment rights. By telephone, we have with us Davida Gardner, founder Erase the Rate. The organization seeks to decrease the growing homicide rate in Philadelphia by elevating, empowering, and enhancing the minority community. Listeners, join the conversation and ask questions of our guests. Calling at 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. This is a question for all. Can you tell us more about what respective organizations have done?
Oh yeah, that's easy. So what what we do in trying to, you know, solve some of these things, you know, we all have the cliches. We all say, oh, we got to end gun violence now. We got to increase the peace. We have these cute cliches, but as far as like, and you know, we kind of speak at people from our lofty mountaintops, but we have to kind of like be community involved. So what we do is we go there to the places where the actual homicides are happening, the suicides are happening, the negligence is happening, and we inform people, one, about their human right via the Second Amendment to defend their life. That's their human right. That's not something that's given by government, nor is it taken away. At the same time, we stress, again, conflict resolution. your firearm, for whatever reason you have it, it is a tool for defending your life and your loved ones, right? However, that is the absolute last resort, as well as de-escalation tactics. When you're in a space where you're in an argument and you think that the concept that we've been told, especially in urban areas, is, oh, I got to respond this way, and we show other alternatives for, no, you don't have to respond aggressively. That's how you de-escalate situations. I think those are key solutions to deterrence. The problem with a deterrent is the negative thing doesn't happen. So no one can get the, you know, the like cool stat for that. Because if someone was going to kill somebody like they did in our class, you know, we taught in the Philadelphia public schools in June, right? At Yes Philly, right on Broad and Poplar. We had a conflict, that happened after one of the classes. One of my students was going to shoot another student with his gun on the day that we did conflict resolution, literally. So after class, when I recognized that, we all went outside and we talked it out, and we literally used the same conflict resolution and de-escalation tactics to get those young men, whose two lives would have been over that day, somebody would have been dead and somebody would have went to jail for the rest of their life. Those are the things that our organization does. You know, you have to be hands-on in a community while preserving and respecting people's freedoms. I think that's, you know, we do that in a very culturally relevant way.
Miss DeVita, can you please give your input on your organization?
Mr. Toure, is that your name?
Yes, Toure, Maj Toure.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Yes, so I agree with everything that he's doing, that you do have to be involved in the community. Erase the Rate, we actually go out, we mentor at middle schools and high schools and impoverished neighborhoods inside of Philadelphia. We also we have community events. We just recently had a walk to end homicide this past weekend. We invited the community out to that. We're going to be doing more events in the summertime. We have another event coming up in May to speak with police and families who have lost someone due to homicide. We also are a support group. So if your family member passes and you are recommended to us, we do everything we can to help. Sometimes people just need some food. We cook food for them. We give them food. Sometimes they need a funeral home to recommend, you know, a funeral home that wants to be recommended. We recommend funeral homes that we have worked with and others that we know people who have worked with them that will be there. That's one of the hardest times in your life. So we definitely want to make sure that in that hard time you are getting good service, and it's nothing here to stress you out. So anything that we can in that moment, we do it, and we also follow up with the families. This is just something personally that I've experienced. Anything that I'm talking about is something I experienced personally. When your family member first dies, in the first couple of weeks, everyone is there. So you're not really getting the impact of what it is to lose someone. But after those couple of weeks and no one is there, that's when you need someone to be there the most, because now you're all alone. So that's what Erase the Rate does.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. And I think you're touching on key points as far as, you know, mentally getting the person in position and maintaining that position. So salute to y'all for that.
Thank you.
My turn?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, I'm Brian Miller. I'm with Heeding God's Call to End Gun Violence. We've been around for about 9 years. Our first public event was around Colosimo's Gun Center on Spring Garden Street. A gun dealer who was selling to people who were reselling guns on the street illegally. And we brought, over a 9-month period, a lot of public attention to the practices of this gun shop, and eventually the federal authorities stepped in and closed it, so it's not open any longer. But we do lots of other things. Our goal is to educate people about how guns reach the street, about the illegal market that puts guns in the hands of folks we all agree should not have them, because you can't seek change unless you understand the problem. So we're seeking to educate people so that they can, as a result, demand from their legislators and so on that they take action to enact new laws to make it more difficult for guns to reach the street. We also do something called our Memorial to the Lost. This is a T-shirt memorial that commemorates, that honors people who have been lost to gun murder, and we have one in Philadelphia. We have several around the Pennsylvania area. And if you want to see the one that we currently have on display, it's at 51st and Spruce. in West Philadelphia. You'll see a number of T-shirts there for people that have been lost to gun violence, and it honors them and their families. And we hope to bring the attention so that people understand that it's not just a number in the newspaper. It's actually people, real people that are killed with families, with neighbors, with coworkers, and so on, so that they'll take it more seriously and seek change.
Excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry, Anaya. Do you want to go?
No, it's okay. You can go.
Okay, so there's one thing I want everybody to challenge themselves. Now, I understand that sometimes we see everybody in this world is responsible for their own actions, in a sense, even if you're a child.
Right.
So I want you to challenge yourselves now how we had people shooting other people.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes conflict resolution doesn't get the problem done, even though we talk it out. And one thing there is that our leaders who say stuff like, we'll try to make a change, but they kind of don't. I want, you know when you want to be a person of your word,
mm-hmm.
and you want people to do the same because you've been a person of your word?
Right.
You want the promise returned to you.
Right.
So I feel like the leaders of our nation should challenge themselves to be men of their word or women of their word, because absolutely. We hear how they want the gun rate to go down, but then they take money that's dirty money, that's covered in people's blood, that was passed down from that could have been a gang member, that could have been a murderer. And this is what makes me sad, because every day there's a person dying. Every second there's another person dying from a gun in any way, from a gun. That doesn't sit well with me.
Right.
Whether it's a child, whether it's a man, whether it's a woman. And we disagree to agree that, no, there shouldn't be guns. Yes, there should be guns. Guns in general have never been safe. It's just a hardcore fact, but we should learn how to control it. And sometimes we make mistakes. Everybody's human. We go and do the crazy stuff. We're humans. Mind you, we mess up a lot of stuff that we touch. Mind you.
Well, I think there's a key point. I agree with a chunk of what you're saying. So the basic four rules of firearm safety, you know, we stress those at our classes tremendously. And I recommend it all of the listeners. I'm not going to make it easy for you. I want you to Google what the four basic rules of firearm safety are. Those basic four rules are pretty much foolproof, right? That's creating a space where a person doesn't harm themselves or someone else by being irresponsible with that inanimate object, right? So now that's why, you know, if you've heard this entire time, I've used the word negligence. It's not an accident. You were negligent. You were not being responsible. Mm. And if that affects someone, a child, an adult, whoever, because of your negligence, you deserve to be punished to the fullest extent of the law. I think what happens is sometimes is we don't have the education as in regards to safety, especially. Like, you know, we see the movies. The guy's has the gun under his pillow, not in maybe a biometric safe, not in a lockbox, not in things of that nature, right? And then we go, yeah, the gun is under my pillow. That's the silliest thing ever. But because it's on television and we don't have the education in opposite.
The little kids see it, yeah. Too, so they think it's okay.
You get what I mean? Now, that ties back into your point earlier about education. If you inform people as opposed to going, these things are just bad. Like, for example, we've had firearms training was taught in public schools for years. For years, up until the 50s and 60s. For years. Safety. You know what I mean? So the education component, I think, is what's missing a lot in a lot of these scenarios that lead to negligent deaths and things like that.
Mackenzie, how old are you?
I'm 14.
You're very wise. You're mm-hmm. before your time. Every time you talk, I'm just smiling. You're a bright girl.
Thank you.
When you said that you want community leaders to step up and to stop taking money, and you know, or you know, just trying to hide it, because I do think that everyone starts off at a point where they want to help, and then happen to get help, you have to move up and get, you know, more notoriety. And doing that, a lot of people lose what their foundation. They lose sight of what they wanted to do, and mm-hmm. they do start taking the money. And with that, they have to, you know, they have to do what they did to get the money. You know, so I stepping up and saying that.
Right.
My favorite quote from Albert Einstein It says, like, the world is a dangerous place to live. And it's not because
it's always been
the people that are evil, but because of the people that don't do anything about it.
Yep.
So I always say, like, I encourage celebrities. We look up to these celebrities that are, you know, doing things. But what are they actually doing for the community right. that you're living in? Or what are they doing for the community that they came from? They're not doing anything. They're not doing much.
Right.
But yet we can spend all of our money to that, but not inside of our own community.
Right.
And with Mr. Ture, you said that it was four ways for the gun violence.
Four basic rules of firearm safety. But go ahead.
But what are those four rules? Because there's going to be people that's not going to Google it.
Well, oh wait, I can't because the time. They just told me I can't.
Okay.
We'll do it after it.
We're going to take a break now. Yeah. Today's topic, debate continues, Second Amendment and gun violence affects solutions. Our guest in studio, Brian Miller, Executive Director of Heeding God's Call to End Gun Violence, the faith-based and grassroots movement to prevent gun violence. Maj Ture, founder of Black Guns Matter, a national pro-gun organization that aims to educate urban populations about their Second Amendment rights. By telephone, we have with us Davida Gardner, founder Erase the Rate, the organization seeks to decrease the growing homicide rate in Philadelphia by elevating, empowering, and enhancing the minority community.
The Tone and Tenor Show is sponsored by Factotum Business and Government Solutions, a unique lobby consulting company that services business and governmental clients through long-standing bipartisan relationships. It is Factotum's mission to provide business solutions for both profit and nonprofit organizations, connecting them to officials in local, state, and federal governments. Factotum has offices in Pennsylvania and Washington, D.C. For more information on Factotum Business and Government Solutions, call 866-795-4484. That's 866-795-4484.
Selma's now for every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. No one can win a war individually. It take the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory, the coming of the Lord. My eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours.
Welcome back to Freedom Voices Youth Perspective, Politics and Issues here on WWDB AM Talk 860. Today's topic, debate continues, Second Amendment and gun violence effects slash solutions. Our guest in studio, Brian Miller, Executive Director of Heeding God's Call to End Gun Violence, the faith-based and grassroots movement to prevent gun violence. Maj Ture, founder of Black Guns Matter, a national pro-gun organization that aims to educate urban populations about their Second Amendment rights and responsibilities. By phone, we have with us Davida Gardner, founder Erase the Rate. The organization seeks to decrease the growing homicide rate in Philadelphia by elevating, empowering, and enhancing the minority community.
All right, so real quick, before we got off, you know, went to commercial break, I want to go over the four rules of firearm safety for everybody that's listening. One, finger off the trigger at all times, right? Two, treat all firearms as if they loaded. I don't care if your best friend checked it, you check it. Treat every firearm like it's loaded. It's not a toy. Three, never point the gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. And four, be sure of your target and what's behind it. In order for you to have a negligent situation, you will have had to have broken at least two of those rules.
Okay, Mr. Miller, go ahead.
You want me to
your opinion
of the four rules?
Yes.
No, they're fine. They make a lot of sense. And by the way, I've never heard of any organization that says get rid of all guns. By the way, all gun violence prevention organizations are seeking to change the laws to make it more difficult. The people we agree should not have guns do not get guns. We're not saying ban guns. except for assault weapons. And I think there's a, we definitely want to get rid of those. There's no purpose for them in a civil society.
I think that maybe we should just get rid of guns altogether and just leave, like, guns to, like, police officers and stuff like that. I understand that they have done some killing, too, but but they thought that the other people either had guns in their pocket or something. Well, maybe if the gun law was destroyed and only police officers could have guns, maybe that situation would have been avoided because he would have never thought that he had a gun in his pocket or something.
Yeah.
Because we don't have guns. We're not allowed to.
So, one, it's a human right. Two, you know, Nazi Germany did the same thing. And they said they initially outlawed guns and the government had them. On top of the fact, the question becomes, let's say if you're right, let's say if we abolish all of the gun rules, right? Guns already exist. People have firearms. If guns are gone, you think that only a certain type of human should have a firearm? So if that human's a human just like us, if that person makes mistakes or if they are fired from the force, so we don't get the right to defend our own lives?
I'm not saying that. I just using it as like an example or something like that. But I understand like why we have guns to protect ourselves from other people, but so we can do something when other people are not doing something. But I just think that sometimes the way we use our guns is not always responsible.
Right. And that's where education comes in. That's a key point.
If you're saying that police should only have weapons, like their defense is they thought that they were in fear for their life. So you could still do that without weapons. So if someone comes charging at you, you could still say, hey, listen, I was in fear for my life. I knew they didn't have a gun because of these laws. But guess what? I still had to shoot them. Or I feared that they were bringing a knife out.
Had a knife.
So I still had to shoot them. So it's not going to change anything. But I do not believe that guns should be abolished. And I definitely don't think that policemen should be the only ones with weapons because it's at a point where police officers already have, some of them have big heads about themselves. Mm-hmm. So if you sit here and the only people that are allowed to have the weapons are the policemen and the government and people in high places, then where do you stop?
Right.
Who's going to police them?
Right.
Now my organization, Heeding Guns Call to End Gun Violence, does not advocate for getting rid of all guns. We just want to make sure that people we all agree should not have them, do not get them.
Who are those people?
That's not happening currently. And by the way, one thing you noted, you made that incredibly incorrect statement about Nazi Germany. That's not the case, that guns were taken away from people.
The Jewish people had firearms when they were getting carted into train tracks and gas chambers?
We're going to have to cut this one. We're going to cut this agreement. We're going to cut this agreement. Okay.
Because that's completely false. But okay.
Whatever. Just agreement or agreement. We're cutting it. Okay.
Cut it.
You know, I as the host of Tone and Tenor, I have a question for all of you.
Yeah.
You know, every time that we have a mass shooting, the first thing we hear is one, gun control.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing, if they're of Caucasian, it becomes a
mentally
issue.
Ill.
Mentally ill. And then the circle continues. You know, if you look at today's Inquirer, they list all the shootings, school shootings, but the conversation continues. How can we, and most of it goes against the first group that everybody jumps in and is the NRA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you really look at the numbers, the NRA are a lobby group, but they only gave $1.8 million out to 260 people in the cycle of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
How can your organizations or those that are anti-NRA come together and become the group that the NRA is, and so that these politicians will not, will not be comfortable in keeping their jobs because they rather see, you know, I believe most of them are out of touch with reality because they forgot for once they came and forgot who put them in the office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can continue this discussion over and over again, but what solutions or how can we or how can these young people begin to put white papers out there or bring your organization? I love the agreement to disagree because at the end of the day, It's a common goal.
We want safety.
It's common goal. So how do you bring organizations under the fold to combat the stereotype of the NRA and what their so-called big lobbyists are doing, and to bring attention to the daily violence, as Ms. Gardner's trying to do mm-hmm. in Philadelphia,
yeah.
the daily violence. Because, you know, we know that television is sensationalism, mm-hmm. and it's about the ratings. Mm-hmm. So a week from today, unless there's another mass shooting.
New news cycle.
It's a new news cycle. So how do we bring three starting with you three organizations, and I'll start with Mr. Miller, together to find a happy medium and to bring about real solutions,
right,
and to really cause some real noise to that, really end this problem and this vicious cycle?
Well, it's clear that when there's a mass shooting that the media is in, has attention, and it's an opportunity, unfortunately for us, to make our point during that while people are paying attention. But at Heeding God's Call, we work hard to bring that attention to the issue of gun violence every day through all of our activities, the Memorial to the Lost. We have a portrait project of people who have been lost to gun violence in Philadelphia. And it's very important from our point of view that, yes, mass shootings are a real problem, but their biggest problem is the everyday carnage in a city like Philadelphia, people that are shot and killed on our city streets. And that's where we really want our main focus, and that's what that memorial down at 51st and Spruce is all about. But it takes advocacy is what it takes, and that's what we are as advocates, and we continue to get more people to get into advocacy and push this forward.
Well, for us, what we've done factually, and, you know, like, one, we've worked with Shira from Ceasefire. We've had those meetings. We've also linked up with, organizations like the, NSSF, who has given us 1,000 firearm locks, the National Shooting Sports Foundation, that gives us thousands and thousands of pamphlets on what to do for firearm safety in the home, and making this information available to people practically. I think that it's very important to, when someone loses something, I think that the symbol of paying homage to that person in their life loss is one part of it, and that symbolism is cool. But I think bigger than, just the symbolism, I think there needs to be substance in the form of informing people about what they can do to not have another tragedy like this. I think that it's important, and I don't think that just a mass shooting is just a tragedy. I think a young guy that feels like, and correctly feels like, that's his only option to defend his life, and in a lot of cases, it's not even a life-threatening scenario. I think that to inform that person and give them practical knowledge every day, and again, the biggest thing that I'm gonna keep repeating is conflict resolution and de-escalation, actual tools. That's what I, for free, that's what I think is very, very important. You have to practically show people a balanced approach. If you have these rights, like we said on a break, if you have these rights, they come with serious responsibilities. And here are the laws of the land that you can not go to jail while being responsible and respect other people's rights. I think that's a big key.
Miss DeVita, I'm sorry, I'm not calling you Miss Gardner. But anyway, I'm sorry, but I'm going to ask you one very important question. And this is one for this, not just the sake of us as kids, but for the future generation. Can we get the three of you to begin to work together on a regular basis for resolutions, and not just the three of you? You could start absolutely. Off that way.
Absolutely.
Most definitely. I was going to say that my answer is communication, unity, and education.
Yep.
So to me, I believe that children have the most say, and in that, minorities have the most say because money talks. Mm-hmm. And minorities spend the most money out of any other race. Black Americans spend more money. 97%, 96%. Mr. Miller, I know you're good with the money, with the statistics, and you don't want anyone saying anything false, but you can look that up. 96% of Black Americans spend money that's outside of their own community. So if we actually use that money inside of our own community, we will be unstoppable. We need to stop spending money on people that aren't helping us or organizations that aren't helping us. I personally don't speak on mass shootings because when mass shootings happen, everyone comes together. People that don't know the children or the people that have passed are sending money. But last year in Philadelphia, 317 people were murdered, and nothing happened. over 60% or almost 60% of those murders went unsolved because it doesn't mean anything. So I don't speak on mass shootings until the shootings where I'm from, where I live, is getting solved. Right. That's my mindset. So I would love to work with guys heeding the call to end gun violence, as well as Black Guns Matter, so that we can all come together and get other anti-violence organizations together to not only stop the violence or decrease it. In
Mr. Vita, we're going to have to wrap this up. Okay. Sorry.
I'm done.
We want to thank our guest, Davita Gardner, founder Erase the Rate, the organization seeks to decrease the growing homicide rate in Philadelphia by elevating, empowering, and enhancing the minority community.
You gotta give him his 30 seconds.
Don't mean to wrap it up.
I know. But he has still had a final thought. To tell you the truth, and I'm trying to be honest here, I don't really see anything that we can work with Black Guns Matter, but
that's unfortunate.
Maybe sometime we'll see.
We want to thank our guest, Davita Gardner, founder of Raise the Rate. The organization seeks to decrease the growing homicide rate in Philadelphia by elevating, empowering, and enhancing the minority community. Brian Miller, executive director of the Heeding God's Call to End Gun Violence, the faith-based and grassroots movement to prevent gun violence. Maj Touré, founder of Black Guns Matter, a national pro-gun organization that aims to educate urban populations about the Second Amendment rights and responsibilities.
Listeners, follow our show on social media on Twitter. We are at Tone and Tenor. To find us on Facebook, just type in www.facebook.com/ Tone and Tenor. Tone and Tenor is one word. To find our page, our studio engineer today was Mr. Brett. It is easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. Frederick Douglass.
America has a right to the Second Amendment, but the people of America have a right to safety and the prevention of gun violence in their community. U.S. Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee.
I'm Anaya Quinterly.
I'm Makai Garnett.
I'm Mackenzie Austin. Thank you for listening to this special edition of Tone and Tenor, Bipartisan Voices of the People.
Freedom Voices Youth Perspective, Politics and Issues here on WWDB Talk 860 AM. We will return March 16, 2018. Just stand up tall, look them in the face and say,